Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you. For those of you who don't know who I am, or even if you do, my name remains Chris Kimmett. And together with Nick, we are the pastors. We welcome, by the way, if this is your first time ever or you're visiting, then you are very, very welcome. Please give us feedback on our welcome. If it's rubbish, we'll sack the welcome team. But we happen to think that we have an extra extraordinary welcome here. We work very hard at it, so we hope you have been made to feel at home. You have come, visitors, in the middle of a series we are doing. I don't know that it's the middle. I think we just got started. A series called Pray, which is, as you would think, all about praying. But something we're trying not to do is like a How to Pray series. That's not really what it is. We have a passion here for longing to see the transformation of Ashford. And our strapline is indeed bringing life to Ashford. It's what our hearts here beat for. We look at what's often called the Great Commission, the things that Jesus said to do. We look at the life of Jesus and we see that he went about bringing God's kingdom. So God's kingdom is God's rule, his reign, his way of doing things, and bringing that to bear. So we have been working through this series. So hopefully you have been from a couple of weeks ago. Nick spoke last week. It was very challenging. A couple of weeks ago, I spoke about whatevers and anythings. How are you getting on with your whatevers and anythings? You're praying your whatevers and anythings. Yeah, good. It's changed my prayer life, I tell you. These four particularly we looked at, and they come within three chapters of each other. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. Whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. And very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. And I said at the time that I'd genuinely looked up the whatever in the Greek, and it turns out it means whatever. There is no Christian shortcut. Jesus says, ask for what you want. We're in this together. Ask for what you want. And then finally, ask and you will receive. Crazy stuff, really. So I have been praying for all kinds of things since then that I probably wouldn't have been on my list before. And yes, every now and then a car parking space as well. So Pete Gregg said, why not pray for a car parking space? Then when you get one, you've got another excuse to say thanks to God, right? So I've been praying for all kinds of things. I asked God for 60 grand earlier in the week. It'll come. Give it time. Give it time. Still early doors. So the only condition that we could find when we looked at that was that you remain in relationship. That was the only condition as we looked through all those passages, which is really quite something. But I believe that God is coming after our hearts today, particularly as if he ever isn't. And he wants to deposit something in them today. So can I just ask you to stand and we are going to pray. It's not the American National Anthem, but I might encourage you just to put a hand on your heart. Just check it's still beating. Okay. I'll just pray. We want our hearts to be open, Father, to what you have to say to us. We want our thoughts to be in step with yours. We are open-hearted and ready. And please help us to stay awake. Amen. Yes, you may sit. No dozing. Not after you just prayed that. That's what I asked. That was part of my whatevers. So this is the bit of the Bible we're looking at today. This is in a book called Matthew, which is the first book in the New Testament and the first of the four Gospels that talks about the life of Jesus. So it says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. There is so much in this. And we're going to go through a few of the bits today, and I'm going to be as quick as I can because I would love a chance at the end We're going to invite people forward. I'll tell you the end, where we're getting to, and hopefully we can all get on the same train and arrive at the same destination. This is going to finish with us, or you rather, as an individual, should you so wish, rededicating yourself to saying, God, just use me however, I am desperate to see life brought in other people. So that's where we're going, okay? So if you don't like the destination, you may now nod off. But here we go. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. So some apologetics for you. Apologetics, you're about to do them. Apologetics is where you have an explanation for something. You have an explanation for why you believe what you believe or why you stand up for what you stand for. So here we go. You have 20 seconds. You won't want to turn to your neighbour, and you won't like me even if I ask you to. So I would love you to imagine then, you can turn to your neighbour if you wish, imagine somebody is in front of you, and they say to you, it says that Jesus proclaimed the good news. What is that good news? And how has it changed your life? 20 seconds, go. Okay, and your time's up. If you can't give a reasonably convincing answer within 20 seconds, the person who asked you that has actually already given up. But it's interesting. How many of you said, we're not actually doing this, this is just intrigue for me, really, I'm just playing a game. How many of you said, Jesus died for my sins? Oh, yes. Okay, that's good. None. Interesting. Okay, so Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing most diseases and some sickness. Oh, no, that's awkward. It doesn't say that at all. It says healing every disease and sickness. Every disease and sickness. There isn't actually a record of anyone coming to Jesus to ask for healing. And he says, ooh, don't do that one. I do cancer, I don't do colds. Not so good with colds. We don't see a record of that anywhere. Anyone who came to Jesus and asked for healing got healing. We are mini Jesuses, Christians, in theory, if we've said our yes to Jesus. And therefore, I would love to say that everyone who comes to me and says, Chris, would you mind praying for me? 100% success rate at seeing people healed is not the case yet. So what we've got here is Jesus going through the towns and villages. In the Message translation of the Bible, it says he's doing a circuit. He's out on tour. He's on the road. And each town and place he comes into, by this point, people already knew who he was. So they were already on the lookout for him. They'd heard about him. And they came out to greet him, and a throng developed. So everywhere Jesus went, that's throng for the sake of the recording. Don't mishear that. So a throng developed wherever he went. Crowds and crowds. And Jesus is going and he's teaching them. He's saying, Father loves you. The good news is here. I'm bringing the kingdom. There's a new way. You know all that Old Testament stuff? Because he's talking to the Jews. They knew about the Old Testament. You know that Old Testament stuff? You know those first five books? They're just a platform. We now put a line over it, and I stand on that platform, and I will be raised, and then I will die, go down into the depths, and I'll come back to life. And I'm making a new way. You don't have to do all that earning stuff anymore. This is great news. You've got access to the Father, and he adores you. Let me tell you about him adoring you. So, you know, like you wander away and then he had to eat on pigs and whatever, eat pigs, swill them. And he comes back and the Father's there watching and waiting. He longs for you. This is good news. It's my Sermon on the Mount. So this is all really good news. And then he prays for them, because whenever there's a proclamation of the kingdom, then there should be power in it too. As Christians, we get a little bit nervous. Sometimes church folk, we get nervous of power. Well, Jesus had stacks of it. Jesus had stacks of it. And thankfully, we have it on offer too. So Jesus is going around doing this. And then what is recorded here is a moment. It is a moment. A densely packed crowd. And we see this. He saw the crowds. Jesus notice them. He's healing people. He's praying for them. He's declaring. He turns around. Wow, it's even more of you. Okay, let's just pray, let's heal. Come on, Peter, join in. No, no, no. You know, like this, they're praying and healing. They say, okay, we've done a few days here. Let's move on, next place. They go there, and there's already a crowd larger than there was before. Already a crowd larger even than before. And he looks at all the crowds, probably maybe from a vantage point. I've no idea. Maybe he stood there. We don't know how tall he was. You know, maybe he's trying. He can't even see the back of the crowd. All these people flocking to him. And he saw them. And he had compassion on them. His heart melted for them. So it strikes me that we probably need to be able to see maybe better than we do. We take things for granted. You assume certain things. We were at National Leaders Conference, the Vineyard National Leaders Conference this last week. There was a guy there, one of the pastors, he's got pneumonia. And so I said to him, oh, mate, I know him reasonably well-ish sort of thing. And I said, oh, mate, no way. Sorry to hear that. And Dana, he said, yeah, it's been like this. He told me a bit about it. And I had pneumonia a few years ago, so we compared pneumonia stories. And then I said to him, has anyone prayed for you? He said, I'd love to pray for you. Has anyone prayed for you? He said, oh, well, they haven't really yet. And I thought, wow, this is a group of pastors. This is a group of pastors. And I'm not having a go at the pastors. My goodness, the number of people who I see unwell and probably walk past. But you stop noticing. Do you know what I mean? You stop noticing. It's so easy to do. You stop noticing. And another person I then came across who had sinus problem. I said, oh, yeah, I've got terrible sinuses. Has anyone prayed for you? Well, you know, I mean, shall I pray for you? I'd love to pray for you. And this is what I'm starting to do now. Because you can ask for the whatevers. And I figure sinus, bung sinuses comes in the whatevers. So I knew I wasn't going to see this lady again. So I said, I'm trying to think when I'll next see you. I might see you at lunchtime. I want an update at lunchtime. Because I prayed that the sinuses would gradually clear during the morning while she was worshipping and while the session was on. So I said, at lunchtime, if I see you at lunchtime, I want an update. And I'm going to come and ask you how those sinuses are. But it started with seeing. It started with seeing. And this is what Jesus does here. And then he has compassion. He's not trying to get a result. He's not trying to say, well, let's pray here. Watch this. Zap, zap. He has compassion. If you look at the root of that word compassion, I've said before, it means to have your bowels yearn. Okay, so this isn't an airy-fairy feeling. I don't know if your bowels have yearned lately. But compassion, that's what it's from here. It hurts. You look and you have compassion. It stirs you deeply. You look at someone and say, I don't want you to be like that. And of course, Jesus knows that if he can get to that person and that person effectively wants to be healed, and Jesus asked that a few times, he knows that I can do something about this. They were harassed and helpless. These are other words that when you look up, this is what these words mean. Harassed, helpless, distressed, dejected, hopeless. The Message renders it this way. Then Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages. He taught in their meeting places, reported kingdom news, and healed their diseased bodies and healed their bruised and hurt lives. Isn't that beautiful? He healed their bruised and hurt lives. When he looked out over the crowds, his heart broke. When he looked out over the crowds, his heart broke. When was the last time we looked out over people and our hearts broke? We had compassion from here. We cried. We almost doubled over at the distress of seeing what people have to cope with in their lives. We need to somehow learn to notice. We could just ask God, God, will you help us to notice more? To really see. Even people who look like they've got it all together. You probably know a whole load of people who look like they've got it all together. It's a commitment Nick and I made right at the beginning. Before really, as soon as we started leading anything, is we would always try to be reasonably transparent leaders. And obviously, we don't come up on the platform and fall apart in front of you. But at the same time, we always just try and be honest with you. And if we screw up, we say sorry. And if we're a bit of a mess, we'll say, do you know what, we're a bit of a mess. And we haven't got it all together. And you probably know a whole load of people who look like they've got it all together. They sort of swish their hair and they're just off to the gym and they're smiling and their kids skip along singing nursery rhymes with them and you kind of want to punch them at the same time. You want to say, God, I know they have a need of you. They must have a need of you. What's going on? Where's that need of you? But actually, they could be addicted to work or depressed or hopeless about a medical situation or even on the brink of committing suicide. 6,639 people in 2016 decided they'd had enough and took their own lives. Highest rate, men, aged 40 to 44. This shouldn't be. And the point is, we see people, you see people, we see people every day who have many, many issues, even though some are barely visible. I knew a guy once who I had seen only a few days before he attempted to take his own life. And I thought, did I miss something? Should I have seen? Should I have listened to the Holy Spirit better? Surely God would have tipped me off if I'd been listening. Surely. I mean, I'm thrilled to say that this person was unsuccessful, but honestly, if you took a video of it, played it back, you'd never know. You'd never know. So don't look at people and think, well, they've got it all together. They're fine. Look at them. They're fine. Look, they smiled. Jesus saw and his heart broke. Then he turned to his disciples and he saith, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. And this is where sometimes in the Bible we lose something in the translation. Because if his bowels are yearning, if the compassion is going that deep, or his heart is breaking at what he is seeing, I don't actually think he said it in that way. I don't think he said it in that way for a minute. Jesus, at this point, was verging on desperation. He's seeing, he's like going as fast as he can. He's praying for people. Jesus always does one-to-one. Of course, Jesus could have gone like that and got everyone. But Jesus doesn't work that way. God doesn't work that way. We are a group of people, but we are individual. So it's a one-to-one. And Jesus won't compromise that value. So he's going around, he's praying for people and determined not to rush. And he looks at the crowd. Oh, Father. And he's praying and he's speaking and he's declaring. And more people are coming and more people are coming. And he's seeing the need. And he's trying to teach his disciples. Peter, not like that. No, like this. That's it. Excellent. Like that. And he's trying to teach his disciples and help them and guide them and steer them. And but the crowds just keep coming. And in the end, Jesus' heart breaks. And he looks at them. And for all I know, Jesus even cried. I have no idea. Most heartbroken people I know, they tend to weep. They tend to cry. Even blokes. And he looks at them and he must have prayed. He says, guys, come on, look. The harvest is plentiful. Just look at the people. But we haven't got enough people. Ask Father for more. We need more people. We need some feet on the ground. We need some hands. Come on. We need more. And actually, the word you have here, where it says, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. It's a terrible translation. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to kick out workers, to force out workers, to eject workers. It honestly is the image of a foot up the backside, hands in the back. Get out there! And that's what Jesus is saying here. Let's not pretty this up. Jesus, at this point, it's so easy to think of him with blonde hair, glowing in a robe, just doing this everywhere he goes. His heart breaks at this point because he looks at the need. He looks at the hunger from people. He looks at his long queue in the prayer line. And everywhere he goes, the crowds are just growing. And his heart breaks. Last week at the conference, Mike Pilavacci spoke. And he spoke, and he at one point when he was speaking, he said, most people I speak to, pastors and people already established in a relationship with God, they say they want two things. One is they want to know God better, become more intimate, close, whatever wording you want to use. Number two, they want to see more miracles. That's what he said. Like, wow, he's just read my mail. That's what I've been praying. Oh, that's amazing. Oh, turns out most of us are the same. That's great. So I'll ask you those questions. Who here, you can be brave and actually put your hand up, audience participation. Who here would like to know Father God more intimately than you currently do? Okay. Who here would like to see more miracles happening? Okay, this is good. Okay, you're with me. This is good. Can you imagine if no hands went up? Like, oh, okay, I'd have just got my P60 and left, I think. Who would like to see this town, city, area? Sometimes when we talk about Ashford, people say, do you mean Ashford? Like, do you mean the town centre? Do you mean, it's like, oh my goodness, no, we're called to Ashford, but we mean Ashford and wherever you go every day, and the whole of the Ashford Borough, and Kent, and UK, and the world. But we just call it Ashford Vineyard, rather than the World Vineyard, which we think is a little arrogant. But anyway, who would like to see this town, city, area transformed to become more like how God intended it to be? Excellent. Good. Keep listening then. I've been praying this, and I had some uncomfortable moments this week while I was away. It wasn't even really what the people were saying from the front. There were some great speakers and whatever at the conference. But I knew that my frustration of seeing only what we're seeing at the moment is getting to the point, if I'm not careful, it becomes to the point where you just lose heart. I am tired of praying for Doris. We haven't got Doris, so I can say that. Praying for Doris and her headache goes from an 8 out of 10 to a 7 out of 10. It's not that I'm not grateful for the reduction in one, which probably came from just sheer warmth of my hand on Doris's head, but that is not what I see in the life of Jesus. And Nick and I feel, and I know many people here feel as well, I didn't come here, we didn't uproot our family and do what we've done to come here to get Doris's head from an 8 to a 7. I came here to get Doris's head from an 8 to a 0, and she goes out and prays for someone else who's got an 8 and they get to 0. And that gradually Ashford gets transformed. That's what we came here to do. That's where our heart is. So I've been saying this to God. Moaning is too strong. It's not really been a moan. It's been a thing. God, I can see it hit in the Bible. I get it. I know about the now and the not yet. I know, but there's a load more now than there is not yet. And I want to lean into the now. I know the kingdom has come, but is still yet to come. I get it. But come on. Jesus said, you will do all this and more. So I want to be doing at least what Jesus did. That's what I want to be doing. Oh, good. Okay, that's six of us. That's excellent. So that's where my heart is. And if I'm reading in the Bible that Jesus says, you'll do all this and more, and I'm not seeing it, the problem isn't on his end.
And what's happening is more and more, I'm just saying to God, I've had enough. I've had enough. Come on. I want to see this. I want to see the more. Where's the more? Where's the more that I read about in the Bible? I want that. I want to see that kicking off. And over a period of time, I'm seeing that God asked me some questions this week which are highly personal, as in highly intended for me, so it's not appropriate to share them here, but they were all about, what am I willing to give up? What am I willing to do? How inconvenienced am I willing to be to see life brought to Ashford? I can always list off to God my to-do list. Well, God, I've done this for you. I've done that for you. I'm doing this for you. I'm doing that for you. But I felt God saying, effectively, I'm not interested in your to-do list, Chris. What? Do you want to be one of the people through whom there is a river that flows that transforms what Ashford looks like? And I couldn't answer straight away because I knew the answer was yes, but I began to realize the implications of saying yes. Like, this is going to get uncomfortable. Because if I keep doing what I've always done, I'll always get what I've always got. So something is going to have to change. Something about me is going to have to change because the problem isn't on his end. It's gone very quiet in here. We got this email this week because we realize more and more that, let me go back slightly. I'll tell you about the email, one moment. Mike Pilavachi said, if you want to get closer to God or feel him more intimately and you want to see more miracles, this is all you need to do. Do what he tells you. It was that deep. It was that profound. Do what he tells you. And he gave lots of different examples. Just do what he tells you. And he talked about Jesus with the water and the wine and the water being turned into the wine. And the mother, Mary, she said to all those servants that were at that wedding, do whatever he tells you. Just do what he tells you. Of course, they go and pour out this manky water. And actually, it is incredible wine. And only the servants knew where it had come from. And Mike Pilavachi did a lovely thing where he said, you can imagine Jesus looking across at the servants and just winking. Because only they knew. But do what he tells us. Got this email. Hi, Chris and Nick. Almost exactly 1 year ago, myself and Hazel ran into you at the National Leaders Conference and we sat down for lunch. After chatting briefly about our struggle to conceive, which took some getting out of them, but I got there in the end, you guys prayed and prophesied over us that God would give us a baby, and he has. Introducing Judah David. He's the most incredible wee boy. They're from Scotland. Most incredible wee boy. We pray for them anyway. We're so, all right. It was a joke. So blown away by God and wanted to just say a huge thank you for the kindness and sensitivity you showed us that day and for being really bold with what you felt God saying. We're gutted we couldn't make it along this year, but maybe sometime in the future we can bring him down to say hello in person. Much love and thanks again. Dave and Hazel. Now that is amazing. That is amazing. Sure, Nick and I were willing. It's God, totally, utterly God. That is incredible. And then you start to think to yourself, wow, I can be a bit antisocial, I recognise that. And we were, there's lots and lots of tables, where I remember it so distinctly. And you grab yourself like a bag of fill it up lunch type thing. And we sat around this big table. I ended up sitting next to this couple just because they were the only seats available. And, you know, you just, hi, you start making a bit of small talk. And I looked. And you know, it says, I saw, and I looked, and I thought, there's some sadness in her eyes. There's something not right with this lady. They're youth pastors. I thought, there's something not right. So I just thought, well, I'm having my lunch, I'll dig around a bit, ask a few questions, you know. To be honest, if I'm entirely honest, she wasn't massively forthcoming, but I persisted. And in the end, despite probably slightly naffing her off, her husband came over as well, and they ended up saying they were struggling to conceive, whatever else. So I thought, well, I know God's heart for them. I haven't got some massive word from God right now that I can think of, but gosh, if you can't pray for someone at a National Vineyard Leaders Conference, then when can you, you know? Like, so I said, oh, do you know what? We'd love to pray for you. And I said, I'm going to get Nick over as well. This is my wife, quick introductions. So we'd just love to pray for you. So we just laid hands on them and prayed for them. But in that moment, and don't do this, unless there's a really clear prompting from God, but in that moment, there was a decision to be bold with what I felt God was saying. And I felt God say that within a year, they would have a baby. I've only ever prophesied it once before. I'm on 100% success rate. And that's only because I hardly ever say it. I've decided. So unless I feel really clearly from God, and in that moment, there was such a clear, as it would have been called many years ago, unction, that I went with it and I said, I feel that God is going to give you a baby. I know you've been through tests and everything else. And we speak fertility over this lady's womb and take it, weigh it up like always, but I feel that God has spoken, you're going to have a baby within a year. Now, what's the point of this? The point of this isn't in any way, yay, Chris and Nick. I've told you how reluctant I was. The point of this is it's almost incredible to believe that sat round a table eating a fairly average packed lunch, we were able to speak some words and something was birthed. We're able to speak some words and something, or in this case, someone was birthed. Oh, God would have done it anyway. Don't know. Maybe. Hadn't happened up to that point. There had lots of people pray for them. It's not like we have anything special. I really don't mean that. But we spoke because the Holy Spirit prompted us to, and we spoke, and something changed. Something was born. Someone was born. And the point is, I'm not asking you to go and speak over loads of ladies. They might not thank you for it. But I am saying that same power, that same prompting, the Holy Spirit is probably looking to whisper to you day after day after day, speak life into this situation. Speak life into this situation. I went for a walk in the park yesterday. I thought, I'm going to really be aware of God. So dog ran off, pick up poo. Yeah, not really feeling, no, not so much. And then I bumped into some other people. And, you know, I was just being sociable with them. We're talking about dog grooming. And I'm like, wow, God, this isn't really going how I thought it would. I just wanted some peace and quiet, really, with you. And then it turns out one of these people with two dogs was going the same way as me. And our dog was being a pain with them. So I then had to virtually canter through the rest of the park. And like, this is not how I thought it was going to be. But I said to God, what can I pray? And I turned and looked to my left and there were eight new houses going up in this particular park. Said, and I felt God say, pray that those houses will be full of my Spirit. Thought, okay. I even stretched out my hand in the park. Who knew that you could do that? So I did. I said, we pray and command that these houses will be full of God's Holy Spirit, that they will be like little greenhouses that bring the kingdom, that the people who live there become full of the Holy Spirit and want to say their yes to Jesus. Can't be wasted, right? Because we're allowed to ask our whatevers. So I did. Some of you this afternoon may go off looking for some housing estates. and things. That'd be a great thing. So, this is a terribly structured talk, but the point I'm trying, I want you to catch something, and there isn't really one clear message. I want you, it's like I've got something burning on the inside of me, and I want to sort of rub it on you and get it on you as well. And it is, the thing that is burning on the inside of me is, if we want to see, because this is about pray, if we want to see lives transformed in the way we dream of it, then there is a yielding that needs to happen. There is a coming to God that's got to happen. When we were away last week, there were a couple of calls for people to be intercessors for their town. I have a particular slight blur about intercessors for a town, just simply because it ends up becoming this Christian professional office held by people who know how to pray, so they can at times maybe even look down on those who aren't so good at praying. I'm sure it's not any of you. It's just an experience. I've been around the block many times. But I did say to God, I'm not really sure what the office of an intercessor is, to be entirely honest. But do you know what? I am willing for you to do something in my life. And if that means me getting up at 4 to pray, and you're welcome to wake me up, God. If that's what that means, then I'm willing. And honestly, I didn't say it lightly, because I know this could get pretty uncomfortable and pretty inconvenient. And it's not just the getting up in the middle of the night. It's not just that. It's having to do things I don't want to do. It's having to restructure how I work. It's having to reflect on my calendar and decide something needs to change. Something probably needs to change here. So I ended up saying this, and I'm going to invite you to stand and say it with me in a minute. It says, let it be known today that I give myself afresh to the cause of bringing life to Ashford and beyond. Father, use me as your will. Spend me as loose change in your pocket. May we see miracles and more miracles. May we see people saying yes to you, many of them. May we see people's lives transformed beyond recognition. We're going to stand and say that in a minute, but if you don't want to say it, don't say it. This isn't a thing we all have to do. If you don't mean it, then please don't say it, because your life will get a bit uncomfortable. But if this is what your heart beats for, like I long to bring what I see in the Bible, I long to bring what I know of the Father to bear on different situations. When I see hopelessness, it's like a magnet that I just, if only you knew, if only you knew my dad, if only you knew. Will you please open up your heart to him? Let me pray for you, anything. So I would invite you to stand. Let's all stand. You don't all have to say this, but let's all stand. Some of you, if you didn't, you couldn't make it to the prayer pallet meeting last week. There's a clipboard on the stage if you want to sign up for it, by the way, I meant to say. Entirely related. Let's just close our eyes. We'll ask the Holy Spirit to come afresh. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Right now, stir our hearts. Stir us. Some of you are feeling like a passion on the inside of you. almost like there's a set of wheels turning on the inside of you, and if I don't do something with this in a minute, I'm going to end up screaming or running or something. It's like a, when I say an energy, it's actually the Holy Spirit, but like the energy building up on the inside of you. Like that old Evel Knievel toy where you wound it up, and it's turning on the inside of you. Some of you are feeling like that right now. That's the Holy Spirit at work. Some of you are thinking, this just isn't for me. And that's okay. That's entirely okay. Father, we want to make every moment on this earth count, whether that's on our own or with families, with people we bump into, whoever, wherever, that we can ask our whatevers. So if this is you, and you're okay with saying this, then let's read this together. Please don't mumble it. Say it. Let it be known. Here we go. Let it be known that today I give myself afresh to the cause of bringing life to Ashford and beyond. Father, use me as you will. Spend me as loose change in your pocket. May we see miracles and more miracles. May we see people saying yes to you, many of them. May we see people's lives transformed beyond recognition. Father, as we have spoken those words over our lives, will you come and change us? There will be some people here already, we know, that will spend hours in prayer for Ashford. Will you increase your presence on them as they do? There are some people here who probably need to get out of the prayer room and have the courage to walk some streets. And there are some people who are probably walking some streets and need to have the courage to go in the prayer room. We love your presence, Lord. This town aches for it and longs for it. I pray for everyone who doesn't work in Ashford and they go somewhere else. I pray they will take something of this with them into their workplace, that they will bring transformation wherever they go. We love you, Lord. Just to close, we had someone praying for us in the week while we were away, and they said to us, you do know that God has appointed Ashford to be a blessing to this country and to the nations, don't you? That's amazingly good news. You can think about that for a while. I'll say it again. You don't have to give a better response. I'm only going to say it twice. But you do know that Ashford has been appointed by God to bring transformation to this nation, to the UK, and to other nations, don't you? That's what he said. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. God is on the move. And we had a word only last week, a couple of weeks ago, there's like a thinning between heaven and earth. That is getting thinner. Okay. So I've slightly overrun, got a bit excited. So thank you so much. Lovely to see you all.
Thanks for listening to our podcast today, and we hope you enjoyed it. For more information, visit ashfordvineyard.org, or maybe drop into something if you're nearby. In the meantime, have a great week and know just how loved you are.